don't have to have an S on your chest. But you darn sure got to be able to represent that TOPL.
With Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning. Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Thursday, February 27th. The time is 10:03 a.m., and we are here to have a party. My name is Rick Butler. To my left is Brandon Orrick. To my right is the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Welcome to the start of the end of the week. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
All right. Good to hear.
Can't complain, Rick.
Oh, you could complain, Chance.
Hey, Chance,
you just choose not to.
That's good to hear, Chance. I'm happy for you. Look at that.
I'm happy for you too, Chance. Don't complain. Never complain.
Is complaining, how are you, Rick? Is complaining healthy for you?
I don't know.
Nah, it's another factor of stress. Stress is one of the leading killers.
Oh man, stress can get you. You can be stressed about anything. You can be stressed about, I don't know. Maybe your dinner plans. You can be stressed about a hot date. Or maybe you're like one of us, and Tennessee athletics can be fairly stressful from time to time. I don't know.
It's a slow killer.
It is.
It's like hypertension.
It is. Tennessee.
You know what hypertension is, right?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I was making sure.
I wonder for how many of us, you know, in maybe 200 to 300 years, because modern science is going
to
advance at some point.
200 to 300 years?
Maybe in 200 to 300 years when we're all on our deathbeds.
Some of us.
200 to 300, I'll be long gone. I'll be way dead.
I don't know, dude. Modern science, it's coming up.
So I will be long gone.
We're passing modern science into future science. I don't want to live another 200
300 years.
No.
Yes, you do.
No.
Another 200 300? No, I think I'm good on that.
No.
Have you
seen
the world?
Some people that are like, way up there.
Don't you want to see a Tennessee?
They look like goblins.
Don't you want to see? Well, we're going to figure that out. We're going to figure it out to not look like just like wrinkled big toes.
I don't think I want to live that long.
Don't you want to see Tennessee win a basketball championship and football championship in your lifetime? Could take that long.
I mean, it'd be nice, but if it takes that long, I don't think it's meant to be.
It's just that wasn't the way the cards played out.
No.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Either way, though.
You doing good this morning?
I am doing good this morning.
Good.
I've had a great morning so far.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Chuck he's at school today. He's not here on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
School's for dummies? Yeah.
I've been in school like 80% of this whole show.
Nah.
Am I a dummy? Huh?
I didn't say it.
I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to disagree if anybody thinks that. But anyways, all right, so we got a ton of stuff to talk about today. Got a packed show ahead of you. Here's a little bit of a rundown of what today's episode of The Blitz will look like. Starting out the show, we'll talk about the Tennessee-Arkansas game from last night. Unfortunately, couldn't find the fifth win in the last 14 tries. But Tennessee still played well. We'll tell you all about that game and tell you about what that means for the rest of Tennessee's season. Tennessee Athletic Director Philip Fulmer, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this, I'm sure you have, but he went on The Drive yesterday. The Drive had a great interview with AD Coach Fulmer, so we'll talk about that a lot. He had some great things to say. Fulmer talked a lot about the transfer rule, talked about his relationship with Pruitt, talked a little baseball action, really trying to get people to come out to support the team. So that is definitely some that's going to come up today. And then just a couple other things we'll sprinkle in. Sprinkle in a little coronavirus, a little XFL, a little Tom Brady in the NFL.
It's not good.
What isn't? Tom Brady in the NFL?
I mean, I don't know. I guess that depends on who you root for.
Okay.
I'm talking about the coronavirus. Not good.
Yeah, I've heard we had some updates and
we'll
go buy your masks.
Well, you can't.
No,
you can't.
Surely.
No, they're sold out.
They're sold out.
In America, too?
Yes, you want to know why?
In America, yes.
Because people are terrified.
No, because...
Oh, are they shipping them away?
That's what, like, Wuhan, like, that's where they're made.
Oh, we're just not getting any supply.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And they're out.
Have we gone to all the local stores? Have we tried all... Because we got to get ahead of this.
Local
we got to get ahead
of this.
They
just told you they're coming from Wuhan.
I mean, there might be some here. I don't know. You can check out the local Walmart or somewhere.
Are you not going to check it out? Like, are you just going to admit defeat?
No. I mean,
you gotta go buy a mask? I got a mask at home if you want one.
I feel like you could just tie a bandana around your face. I feel like that works.
Here's what you need to do. Just fake an illness. Go to the doctor. Get a mask there. Those are like the high-grade ones. The ones that are in the hospitals, in the doctor's offices. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, should we really be that much scared of coronavirus?
Have you heard the latest update, Chance?
Yeah, but, like,
Have you?
You talking about mask? I got the flu 2 years ago and I had to wear a mask. It was almost 2 years ago. It's just like the flu.
I think you should be a little worried, Chance.
A little worried? I heard it's,
I think you should be just a
little worried. Dom said, what, it's in Rogersville?
Yeah.
They're shutting down the local mom and pops.
Oh, yeah. They're scared. I'm scared. We're all scared.
No money to be made today, boys.
And then
coronavirus is here.
It is. And then the final thing that we'll get into today, a little bit of a surprise for everyone out there. Later today in the second hour, we have audio gold.
Pure gold?
Absolute, pure grade, 100% gold from the audio realm. We did some spying yesterday. We did some spying on some radio stations across the world. Yeah, the world. And we found some audio that we decided it had to be brought to the fan-run radio airwaves. I promise you, I've said this probably many times, but I promise you, you won't want to miss it if you want your biggest laugh of the day. I'm just going to throw that out there, just like that. So stick around. That's coming up later in the show. That's a little bit of what the show looks like today. But without further ado, we will go ahead and start into the Tennessee basketball game from last night. The Volunteers traveling down to Fayetteville, Arkansas, looking for their fifth win in the last 14 attempts in Fayetteville. And unfortunately, Tennessee comes up short. Tennessee loses to Arkansas by a score of 86-69.
Nice.
The game, I don't know, the game never really seemed that close. It was 40-27 at halftime, and so, you know, you knew you were going to be in this deficit, trailing, trying to come back from behind. And
no,
granted, what?
No, it wasn't close. They were kicking our ass before it was even on TV.
It wasn't really.
I mean, it was 7 minutes to go in the first half before they even got the damn game on. Because of South Carolina and Georgia.
Yeah, that game going into overtime.
No one wants to see that game. No one. The fans of those two teams barely even want to see that game.
Some people would even argue nobody wanted to see the Tennessee Arkansas game.
I was just going
to
say.
Well, I wanted to see it.
Like, we wanted to see it, but, like, they're probably saying the same thing. Other people, like, what are we watching this for? You know? But, yeah, it was nasty. I mean, they fought to come back, but I wouldn't. When you said earlier that they played well. I'm like, what? I don't think that they played well. I mean, I guess give them the A-plus for effort for making it not too embarrassing like it could have been.
No. They don't deserve an A-plus for effort. They played about a C game.
They've given up.
You can
tell.
Stick a fork in them.
They've given up.
Stick a fork in them.
They know they
they're
can't
done.
Go, they know they can't go to the tournament. I don't think that they'll... You think Tennessee will accept a bid to the NIT tournament?
Yeah, I think they would accept one to the NIT. Anything else, no. But at this point, do they even make the NIT?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Do they even make it? The only draw for the NIT members is Tennessee fans will travel. But I don't know how, but they'll still travel for NIT. I have to think that they probably still will.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they'll make it. I mean, I don't even know if they'll make that tournament. I mean, it's not like
they
it depends on how they finish.
They looked like they gave up. I mean, losing that.
Yeah, I mean, if they play like they did last night, they won't.
Losing
Tennessee
that tough one to Auburn, their spirits.
Will be under 500 this season. And I think that's a tough reality.
I think we're losing the next three games.
Okay, well, say you go, you know, say you go 1-2, you're still going to likely have a loss in the SEC tournament, right? I mean, it's going to depend on matchup draw, but you're likely going to end this season right around 500. I can't see many, you know, possibilities where we're over 500, because I think you got to lose 2 out of 3. And if that happens, you finish the regular season at 16-15, and then if you lose your first SEC tournament game, then you're right there at 500 for the year. If you can't win a game the rest of the season, then yeah, you're going to be under 500. And to me, that's the most likely situation by a long shot. I don't really know if I see Tennessee winning another game this year. I know we got Missouri right now, who I think is projected. Now, obviously, you know, that is still very subject to change. But, man, like, we're going to kind of be in the range where you're playing against teams that you've lost to already. I know that, you know, nobody really expected to maybe be on the bubble, maybe not, maybe just be inside, maybe just be outside. But I think there is a harsher reality to an under 500 season.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. But, man, I'm with you guys. Sure. Like, I guess if you're out there, you can still, you know, try to convince yourself that Tennessee could go 1-2 or maybe even 2-1 or something like that. But, man, when I watch this team, I'm with you guys. And I saw this, and I felt like, you know, I felt this way after kind of the Auburn game, when after that huge slide happened. And it just feels like the team is done. Feels like it's been a tough year. I can only imagine that they've learned a ton. But I just kind of think that's it. I think that this was kind of a nail in the coffin game, because if you couldn't win this game, if you couldn't even get within, 16, 17 points, I don't feel good about Florida. I don't feel good on the road versus Kentucky.
Well, I mean, 3-2 is the number that we talked about these last five games. 3-2. You got to finish 3-2 to even have a chance. Well, you're 0-2. You got to win the next three, and that includes a trip to Rupp and Auburn coming to your place. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely. Very unlikely. And I don't see this team going to Rupp. I mean, it takes a very, very special team to go to Rupp and win. I mean, you look at Tennessee teams that have. I mean, last year, obviously you had a special team last year. And before that, I barely remember. Pearl did it one time. But it's only a handful of times that Tennessee's been up to Rupp and won. So I would not count on that.
So out of the last 5 years, so 2019, 2018, 2017, 16, and 15, there have been two teams with 14 regular season losses who have made the tournament, and we're already at 13. So you are already going against just an insanely minimal likelihood that you're going to get in the tournament. Again, two teams in the last 5 years have lost 14 games in the regular season and then gone on to make the tournament. That was Alabama in 2018 and Vanderbilt in 2017. But even then, like, both of those teams went on a little bit of a run during the SEC tournament. Both of them were able to get a couple more wins under their belt. And first off, you can't convince me that, you know, we're only going to end with 14, because that would mean us going 2-1 over our final two, or over our final three. And then no teams with 15 regular season losses have been in the tournament in the last 5 years. And that would only take two losses. So it's done. And that's okay. It's been a long season.
I still think that this team will play hard and fight down the stretch. I mean, I don't think they're going to just lay down and give up.
No, because I think five straight losses, six out of the last seven, like, I think that's a miserable ending for them. I don't think that's how they want to go out.
Yeah, I don't think so
that's how Jordan Bowden wants to go out.
And, I mean, I like Chance was saying, I think that this team still has a chance to make the NIT, and I think if that's still a possibility, I think you take it.
But do you think even fighting their hardest, this team can compete with Florida, Kentucky, and Auburn down the stretch?
Yeah. I mean, you saw them compete with Auburn last Saturday.
Okay.
I don't think Florida's great. I don't expect them to go to Kentucky and compete. I just don't. And, I mean, they could get blown out by all three. I mean, I could see that too. But I don't think Florida's that great. I think Tennessee can definitely compete with Florida, and especially at home. And you just saw Tennessee go on the road and play with Auburn, had them down 17, should have beat them, and now you get them at home. So, I mean, I think it's definitely possible, but is it likely? I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough, and that's just kind of the reality of the situation right now. Looking back at the game yesterday, looking at the box score, John Fulkerson finishes 5-12 for 15 points. Bowden goes 7-16 from the floor, 4-10 from behind the arc for 19 points. Continuing his, he's had a really good streak of three games.
I mean, do you blame anything? In the last week, everybody was after Saturday's game, it was all coaching. What do you blame on last night's loss? I just think it's just lack of desire. I just don't think that they're at the point where they know they can't make the tournament, especially after going down in that game. It's like, oh, we can't make the tournament now. We don't win out. I just think they're kind of looking to next season.
Well, I mean, I think you just kind of ran into a buzzsaw last night. I mean, Arkansas.
Oh, they had you marked on the schedule.
They did after you beat them down. And
let's
and
not forget, they couldn't lose either.
No, I mean, they're playing for their tournament hopes too. And they, I mean, if we're being completely honest, they probably needed that game a little bit more than Tennessee did last night. And, I mean, you walk into a hostile road environment, a place that's very tough to win, and they get arguably their best player back in Isaiah Joe. And Mason Jones he just goes insane, plays out of his mind, scores, what,
37? I mean, a shot away from 40.
So, I mean, he tore you up. So, I mean, they just played uninspired basketball last night. And well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, not much you can do about last night. Just scrap it, move on to Saturday, and try to get ready for Florida.
Yeah. I would say the exact same thing. It's going to be a tough close to the season, but I don't think they're giving up. And, you know, we're not going to give up in its entirety either. We're still going to be here talking about the Tennessee-Arkansas game, talking about the Tennessee-Florida game coming up this weekend. But for now, we will go ahead and catch a quick break. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That is your number to call in on the show today. If you want to talk about this Tennessee basketball team, if you want to talk about Rick Barnes, Jordan Bowden, any of this, you are welcome to call into the show. We got open phone lines right now. Going to catch a quick break. See you on the other side. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Volunteer. Okay, hit the crowd and jump in. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, because that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.
All right, back here on The Blitz. Let's see, 10:24 a.m., talking a little Tennessee hoops action versus Arkansas last night. Unfortunately, the Vols could not find the W over the Hogs in Fayetteville last night. But don't worry.
We're talking about during the break. Are you just like, I don't even know if anybody cares so much about the basketball anymore.
Yeah,
I think people are disappointed. They'll likely be upset. But it's like the upset. The people that are upset and probably disappointed for a majority of the talk and the people. I think it's not even so much disappointed in the team. It's more like, yeah, you knew this team wasn't that great if you've been watching the games. Everybody just seems to be disappointed that Rick Barnes got the money and he didn't get you in the tournament this year. Like, I think people were like at the point last night's game, because before the game started, you know, I work at the bar, and I was at the bar, and somebody came up to me and they was like, they actually said verbatim, I wish this game meant something. Like, it actually, like, who cares about this game? And at that point, before the game started, before tip-off, I was like, well, it still kind of means out, and if they went out, the Rick break the podcast.
Just a little. It's fixed.
All right. So like, if they could win out, then yeah, it meant something last night. But now I know like most people probably threw that game halfway through that game. It's like, you kind of got to shift your focus, I guess, what, to baseball now and to maybe an NIT tournament. But the SEC tournament might draw us back in. They win a couple games, and looks like they might be putting the championship game. We'll all be right there. We'll all be right there, suckered in, no cup. We will. We will.
No.
You don't think so? If they play in the final.
If they get to the final, then, yeah. I mean.
Because they're going to have to play day one now, right?
Not day one.
Not day one, but the second day.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not getting a bye. I mean, there's still three games left, so they could move a little bit, but.
Comes down to that championship, and they're close. I don't know.
I mean, there's too many ifs.
I just don't see them making it.
There's too many ifs. Basically, what we were saying just a second ago, Brandon, is that Chance and I were just talking during the break, and we were saying, you know, kind of, hey, like, what more
can you say about Tennessee basketball?
Yeah.
At this
point. I mean, obviously, we still have a game to preview on Saturday, and there are certainly things that we can talk about. And Rick Barnes, I think, needs to be talked about. Not in the sense that, you know, do we want to keep him or do we not? I think that's a crazy conversation.
Stupid.
I think that's insane. But, you know, obviously, we can have intelligent conversations about, you know, kind of the point of his Tennessee tenure that he's at right now, right? What are the ways that he has to improve? What are the ways that that kind of fell off? Obviously, a production that fell off from last year's team, but that was expected. What about from the coaching side? How much did coaching production fall off? So those are all certainly conversations that we have to build upon going forward. But you're right. Like, in terms of last night's game, just it kind of is what it is. Tennessee got beat by a better team, and Tennessee didn't look good. What more?
I mean, talking about coaching, I think it's tough to judge based on how much this team was dealt negatively, how many guys that they lost and are like losing Turner, and then you add Vescovi in the middle of the year, you think you're gonna have Plavsic at the beginning of the year, you have to wait until January. I mean, it's just this team's been dealt a lot, and is that an excuse? No. But I do think you have to take that into consideration. But I think they'll be fine next year. I mean, you're talking about arguably on paper, or not even arguably on paper, it will be the best Tennessee team that has ever been on the floor that we've ever put out there. So I think you've got to wait and see till next year. And if things don't pan out next year, then I think it is fair to start asking questions.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But I mean, I think it's totally reasonable for people to have concerns now about Barnes and this basketball team.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that, you know, like, if I'm being totally honest, like, I still have a couple questions. Not questions that are necessarily make it or break it questions, but you're right. Like, we do have to realize that, hey, next year is a totally different ballgame, right? Everyone's going to have to improve, from the assistant coaches to the head coaches to the players to everybody involved, because you're going to have more expectations. Your ceiling is so much higher, and you're at a point now where you have to hit the top of the ceiling. Like, you have to play up to your potential, and I think everybody probably knows that. And so we'll see the kind of steps that that they have to get there. I know. Okay, so like, looking at football, right? We know that football's potential ceiling is much higher this year than it was last year, right?
Yeah.
And so what we've seen this offseason is we've seen the potential being there. We know who's coming in, but we start to see how the coaching staff tweaks their lineup to be able to fire on all cylinders for this team coming up. We see the different coaching staff position changes being made. We see guys being brought into the team, not even to be coaches, but analysts, off-field analysts. And you can really see Tennessee football revamping for their next season, because they get it. They get the expectation that they will have next year. And I think that Tennessee basketball certainly will have to do that. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how they start to prepare for those expectations. Because they're going to be there. Whether they admit it or not, whether we admit it or not, those expectations are going to be there, and they got to get somewhat close. You can't have a bust, I think, or else you're going to have a lot of people upset. A lot of people pointing back at this season saying, huh, wasn't really a fluke, was it? Tell me why all, you know, there are negative things carrying over to this year. I don't know. There's a ton of different ways this thing could go. But I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch how they get ready for what's going to be a superstar season next year.
Yeah, I mean, I like the coaching staff. I like Barnes. I think that I like Kim English as the guy that they brought in this year. I think he's doing well in recruiting, and I think they should be fine next year. I think you still have the question as far as next year who's going to be your leader. But, I mean, that's kind of been the question all year long this year, is who's your leader, and is it Bowden? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he's your senior, but does he really act like a leader? He's not a vocal leader for the team, or at least it doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
So who kind of steps up and takes that role next year? Because, I mean, it's going to be a young team. I mean, you basically get this year's team back with minus Jordan Bowden, and you add – 3 high-level prospects. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those guys. I don't know. But somebody's gonna have to step up.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about earlier is you really – and sometime maybe next week we will look at the – or maybe we'll save for an off-season conversation. But at some point soon, I do want to talk about who's going to be on the roster next year. I mean, we – like bringing back probably 2 out of the 3 leading scorers, if not 3 out of 4, between Vescovi, Pons, and Fulkerson. Bringing in those 3 very talented, recruits, Victor Bailey Jr., the 4-star transfer from Oregon, will be able to play. You get another year of Juris Plavsic, who, man, we got to see something. Got to see some offseason
turnover. He had
8
points last night, Rick.
I know. I was impressed.
Were you not entertained?
I was entertained. I was entertained and impressed. But hey, like, can you imagine if he is a 10-6 guy most nights next year?
It'd be nice.
As 7-foot tall? Man, that'd be awesome.
I just need him to get rebounds.
Yeah, I don't think scoring's going to be an issue next year, so maybe you're right. Maybe you just, you know.
Rebounds and protect the rim.
Continue the possessions.
I need him to bulk up. He seems soft.
Yeah. I think they got that whole entire offseason coming up to figure out all those things. But hey, I think we got to be real, or not gotta. I think we should be real optimistic for next year. But there are some questions along the road, though, that we got to answer, or we got to have answered, in order to get there, in order to get where we want to go. I think we're all on the same train to the same destination. It's just about how we get there. Going to catch a quick break right now, come back on the other side, and get a little opening drive action right now as we are moving our way through the first hour of the show today. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Blitz, 10:38 a.m. Rick, Brandon, and Chance hanging out with you as we are starting the opening drive here on the show. And let's go to first down. Malik Monk, former University of Kentucky basketball player, now one of the guards for the Charlotte Hornets. He has been suspended indefinitely without pay for violating the NBA's anti-drug program. The suspension begins with last night's game against the Knicks and will continue until Monk is determined to be in full compliance with the program. So I feel like, you know, normally if you violate the anti-drug program for most sports, you know, it's, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it typically just like a set suspension? It's got to feel like this is maybe something more if it's just suspended indefinitely. and that the only way that they're going to clear him is if, you know, they determine he's in full compliance.
This ain't pot.
No. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
No, it's not.
Way more.
NBA is very lenient on marijuana usage.
Do you think this is more use, or do you think this is more PEDs? I mean, it says anti-drug program, but doesn't the
It could be PEDs. PEDs are in there. It could be something like amphetamines. I mean, PEDs, you know, Adderall. It could be cocaine. I mean, there's a lot of things it could be. But if it was marijuana, the NBA is very lenient. I'm not even really sure if they test for it, because they've kind of changed their stance on it over the last 3-4 years. But yeah, it's definitely, I would say you are correct that it's, you know, it's something a little definitely harder than the weed, and it could be PEDs. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So anyways, if you're a big Malik Monk fan, sorry, won't be seeing him much anymore, at least for a while. Second down. Ja Morant, superstar rookie for the Memphis Grizzlies, had some interesting comments about one of his fellow NBA guards. Morant, the Rookie of the Year frontrunner right now. He's talking about Russell Westbrook, and I thought he had some pretty interesting comments, so this is why I'm bringing it up. Here it is. Quote, "I still feel like he's highly disrespected. People take his play for granted. I mean, he averaged a triple-double for the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm pretty sure they still see what he's doing this year, but it's still the same thing. I just love that he still just goes out there and plays and handles his business and doesn't worry about it." That's what Morant had to say about Westbrook. Chance, do you feel like Russell Westbrook is a disrespected guard in the NBA today?
I don't know about disrespected, because I'm not sure how his peers really think of him. You know, like, I'm not in the NBA locker room, so disrespected would be tough to say. I mean, obviously John Morant would know he's playing in the league. But I do think that he's been underrated in his career.
Which is weird to say, but I do agree.
Yeah, I definitely think he's underrated, because people look at him and he's been talked about as being somewhat of a ball hog, but he's pretty efficient. And then whenever he got his first triple-double and he won the MVP off of that triple-double, first person since Oscar Robertson to do it in the 70s or late 60s, whatever it was, people talked about him chasing rebounds, chasing stats. So I think that's been always out there, but it's like, it's really tough to say about a person. Like, especially as a guard, you're chasing stats. Like, are you just out hustling everybody? Are you just outworking everybody? Teammates can get those rebounds.
Yeah, that was the weird knock. It was like, okay, he did it the first season, he averaged it, and everybody gave him the praise. But then he did it again, and the conversation weirdly changed to, well, let's look at this. He can only do this for 2 seasons if he's a really selfish player.
Yeah, they turned.
Like, how could he be doing that otherwise?
I always thought it was weird how he was, you know, turned into chasing stats and selfish, but nobody ever talked about maybe he's just outworking everybody and outworking his teammates.
Like, let's look at those three stats. Points are on you, right? Like, you've got to be talented to score the ball, but rebounds, hustle. Yeah. Especially if you're a point guard, you got to be chasing the rebounds.
Assist is being a selfish.
You're waiting for, you know, your teammates to hit shots.
And his defense is not awful, so he gives effort. Yeah, I do think he's underrated. Now, like I said, I can't comment on the disrespect, but he's definitely been underrated.
I think it's primarily revolved around the ring conversation. Like, the fact that you really haven't seen. Yes.
The Durant stuff.
The OKC.
That Durant left, and like, there was like people that said he was, you know, Russ was taking lead role when he should have been, deflecting to Durant, and he should have been taking his many shots. I think dude's a killer. I've always liked his game because he always gives, like, guys say they give 110%. But when you watch him,
he does.
He gives, and I think he's the guy that, like, any fan that would be going to an NBA game, when you go see Russell Westbrook, you're going to be entertained.
Yeah.
And he's not taking a night off when you're going to see him.
With Russell part of the Thunder, and then with him now with the Rockets, like, I have seen more of Russell Westbrook than I've ever wanted to in my whole life.
Yeah.
Just watch him beat my teams over and over. And, man, I respect the hell out of the guy.
I like what Ja is saying.
I do, too.
We'll allow that one.
I love Ja. Like, I think he's great for the league. Third down, James Franklin has a new contract with Penn State. He signs a new 6-year contract, and the school will pay him up to $38.2 million plus incentive bonuses, the school announced Wednesday. Also, in terms of college football, LSU has finally found their running backs coach. They are promoting Kevin Falk, a source told ESPN a couple days ago. So it looks like LSU has found their running backs coach, and it looks like Penn State has locked down James Franklin for the next 6 years for $38.2 million.
I think James Franks is a little overrated.
Yeah, I was surprised at this move.
A little overrated.
I wonder where that makes
Jimmy
him
Frank
in terms of the Jim highest Frank. Paid college coaches.
I'd say, I mean, I would imagine he's up there. Right up there. Yeah. With.
I mean, you have to be.
Probably this, like, obviously you got Dabo and Saban at the top. Probably
Jimbo's
Harbaugh.
Jimbo's up there with that lucrative contract he got.
Yeah. I'd say he's right up there. I think
he's
right
top five.
I think it was 6 years, $34 or $35 million, which would put it right around what would that be?
How much is Franklin making now? He was the 11th highest paid coach right behind Dan Mullen at 5.6 per year. Now he's going to be making, 6.8? Is that what it was?
It's 38.2 divided by 6. I don't know that.
That's around 6 point something.
Yeah, 6.3.
6.3, excuse me. All right, so 6.3 would put him, and I don't know if Lincoln Riley has gotten anything different, but that would put him above Lincoln Riley at the ninth spot at 6.3, right behind Jeff Brohm at Purdue. Jeff Brohm.
Wow.
Jeff Brohm just taking Purdue to the bank, 6.6.
Yeah.
They really lucked up on that one, didn't they?
Jeff Brohm, all right? He played
his
cards right.
We can. No,
he
did.
He used Tennessee, but he played them damn right.
No. I was going to say, he did play his cards right. He got out where he was while the going was good. He struck while the iron was hot and took a new deal. And then he flirted with Tennessee just to make Purdue give him more money. And now he's top 10 highest paid coach. And look what he's done last 2 years.
Suck.
Yes. Bad. Bad.
Oh, that's great.
6.6 per year for Jeff Brohm. Number one coach, the Dabo. I think we knew that when he got his last extension at 9.3. And then followed by Jim Harbaugh, Jimbo Fisher, and Kirby Smart at the number 5 spot.
All right.
Then Big Germ's going to enter this top 20 eventually,
yeah,
ain't he?
He will. He will. We're just waiting on the day. All right. Fourth and final down. The Tennessee Volunteers baseball team improved to 9-0 on the diamond last night with a 12-1 victory over UNC Asheville. Mark McLaughlin gets his first win for the Vol baseball team. Let's see. Home runs last night in last night's game by Al Solare, Connor Pavloni, and Evan Russell. Hey, Pavloni's your guy, right?
He is. Yeah.
He got a big home run.
Yeah.
A big boom, as they say. You know, that's what they say.
Yeah.
A big boom.
Boomstick.
Zach Daniels and Pete Durkee hitting a double in the game. All around, just a dominant game for Tennessee, improving to 9-0 on the year. Tennessee is currently ranked, I believe it is 21 in the country right now.
21?
Yep. Yeah, that is it. Coming from utsports.com, number 21 Tennessee defeats UNC Asheville by a score of 12-1. 9-0. For Tony Vitello and the baseballs.
Like I said last week or earlier this week, whenever it was, I'm in on the baseball team. But I'm not buying all. I'm not going all in until we start conference play. I got to see them in conference first. I don't care that we're beating up. I don't care that we're beating up on UNC Asheville.
You don't care we've won our last two baseball games by a combined score of 27-2?
No. And I don't care that we're going to beat up on George Washington this weekend or Wright State next weekend.
You want to wait for the big boys. For Arkansas. For Florida.
Andy.
You know yeah. Maybe even the second week of conference play.
South Carolina,
I'm not. They suck.
But don't
they're
just
terrible.
Want to beat them?
They just won a College World Series not too long ago.
Nah, it's been a few years. They're not good.
It's been less than six.
They're not good.
And they went back-to-back, didn't they?
They're not good. They're not good. Right. Vandy. That's going to be March 20th. I'm going. To the Vanderbilt series.
Oh, are
Lindsey
you?
Nelson Stadium. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to the game.
Could you imagine if we roll into that game undefeated?
Going on 420, yeah.
320. March is the third month. The third month,
no, he's
chance.
Going on national holiday.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
When is
the third month.
When is April 20th? Yeah, is it on a weekend?
It's on April 20th.
It's
the 20th day of the
Monday.
Fourth month.
It's a holiday
it's
in Boulder.
It's on a Monday. We'll be here. We'll be here providing some good content.
But I'm not buying in.
For everyone out there.
I'm not going all in until conference play.
Okay. I think you have to wait, right? You have to with this baseball team.
Like I said, I'm in.
SEC baseball.
I'm in.
And really, like, do we want to – we don't want to compare ourselves against the UNC Asheville's of the world. We want to compare ourselves against Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Florida. That's what we want to, you know.
Such a tough schedule.
The baseball's next game will be tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. versus George Washington. And that right there is your opening drive for today, Thursday, February 27th. Catch a quick break right here. Come back on the other side. Finish out the first hour of the show. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Volunteer. Any fun, I don't need no breaks. Roxanne, Roxanne. All she wanna do is party all
night. All day. Roxanne. Never gonna love me, but it's all right. Final segment of hour number one. I feel like we've kind of cornered the market on this. We've at least been on top of it, but
much better than anybody else.
We have been the information station.
We've been the only people talking about it.
The coronavirus. Things are getting serious. Things are getting real, as they say in the trade. Breaking yesterday evening, patient being treated for coronavirus in Sacramento came to the hospital last week, but was not tested by the CDC, despite requests from local health officials. So there is a new case of the coronavirus in Northern California.
COVID-19, dude.
COVID-19, that is it. And this patient, this newly contracted coronavirus case, had not been to China and had not been in contact with anyone who had been to China, had not been traveling or anything.
Oh, it's not plugged in.
It's you could say that it's here.
Yeah.
All right.
Is this the same person that was the flight attendant or no? Different.
No. So this person has not traveled. But so here's the
timeline.
Here's the kicker, Chance. Yeah. Here's the thing. The scary part. You ready? This where this case was found.
All right.
Was what did I tell you last night, Rick? The county that is from.
So here's what you told me is that basically all the people who had to be quarantined in America were taken to one California town.
Yeah, so right?
they were taken from the cruise ship.
Well, that doesn't sound smart.
The U.S. nationals that were in China and the people on the cruise ship.
California town.
They took them out of China and off the cruise ship, brought them to this Air Force base that's in Northern California, and apparently the quarantine did not work. The virus has escaped
leaked.
The quarantine.
They got him in a camp.
Leaked out of the quarantine like a small fart.
And this case of the coronavirus is in Northern California near that Air Force base.
Well, you know, you got coronavirus too. Something we didn't get to yesterday you haven't mentioned. Rick's got to shave his beard.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
There's a facial hairstyles and filtering face piece respirators chart. Clean shaven, perfect.
Yeah.
Soul patch, also.
That's a good one.
Perfect.
I got to decide what my next facial hair
even
look is
a little
be.
Bit of the side whiskers.
I'm not going to go soul patch. I probably won't go side whiskers.
A pencil stash, also good.
Now the toothbrush, walrus. The walrus is interesting.
The Zorro works. The villain. The walrus.
The toothbrush? Did you just tell me to do the toothbrush?
It works.
I don't want to do the toothbrush.
The Zappa.
Frank Zappa?
The Zappa works.
You know. Unfortunately, the Fu Manchu doesn't work.
That's almost like a Zappa.
Yeah, you just kind of got to
It's like
trim
a Fu Manchu
right.
with a soul patch is a Zappa.
Yeah.
And you got the chevron. That's okay. And the handlebar.
So the full beard, the long stubble, the French fork,
yeah,
the ducktail.
I
got
to shave. Apparently long stubble, not it.
The band holes. None of these will work. The goatee, Brandon.
Not
you
got to
be careful. It says careful on the goatee. Chin hair may easily cross the seal. Hmm. You look to be good, though.
Well, it looks like he's got a lot of chin hair.
If this becomes a real threat, I'll just go baby face. I'll just shave
you
it all
to.
Off.
You got to. Clean shaving.
I won't. No. I'd rather have
You'd
my
rather
beard.
Get coronavirus.
I would rather have my beard.
It was nice knowing you, Rick.
It will You if go out it there takes and you get me away, coronavirus. At least I went out looking like how I wanted to go out. I'm not gonna die
what we put
with
on
a
your
baby
tombstone.
Face. I will not die with no hair on my face. No.
Likely you would though, probably if it were to, you know, involve you to perish. Probably the funeral director is probably gonna cut your face. You're gonna shave your face. Just throw it out.
I will fire
unless,
them. I will get someone.
Unless you get cremated.
You two right now.
This is your final wishes.
Yeah,
don't let him shave
right
my
now.
Face.
Don't let anybody shave my face.
Don't
right?
let him
Brent,
shave
look at
my
me.
Face.
Can you acknowledge? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Don't let anybody shave his face, Brandon. Uh-uh.
So the coronavirus is a real thing, and if you have a beard, you better shave it off. It's also in America. There you go. Happy Thursday. Hour number two coming up next. You're listening to The Blitz, Vox Sports Knoxville.